Stand one more time, please, and we'll let the little ones get out and get downstairs, and that way you can. We're going to do jumping jacks this morning just to keep you awake so we can get started. All right. Realize that. I realize some of you, it's been a long, short night, huh? But take your Bible, please, and go to 1 Timothy, the first chapter. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. How many of you have written your autobiography of your life? Have any of you? I realize some of you are young, but you know, you can start it now and fill in as you go. But you know, that's something that doesn't happen very often anymore, does it? To write your life story before you end your life, or your life is ended. Hopefully you didn't end your life. But you know, it's interesting. As I mentioned this morning about Juan Alvarado, in the mail that we received, he wrote his autobiography. His autobiography as he grew up and how he came to the Lord. And I'm going to take it home and read. I didn't get a chance to read all of it this morning, but In 1 Timothy chapter number 1, we have what Paul writes about his life, some of his life. And we need to really keep that in mind. And some of the things that Paul thanks the Lord for in his life. And we're going to discuss those and share with those. But I want you to take your Bible. I want you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. This is where we're going to start. And we'll go down through verse number 16. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And I want to read that next verse. I said 16, but I really love the next verse that goes with that. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. That was Paul's prayer. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning as we consider the life of not only Juan, but we consider the life of Paul here. And this portion of scripture that he writes about his life and what he used to be. And yet, because you showed him mercy. But his life's no different than ours. We were all in sin, under condemnation, until the mercy of God and the grace of Christ came in and you turned the light on in our lives so that we might understand, hear, and receive the knowledge of the truth. Lord, thank you. As Paul said, thank you. We say thank you today, too, for what you've done in our lives, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I think, to me, at least, the key verse is verse number 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You know, as we think about Paul's life and he's writing, and he's greatly thankful for where he has been brought by the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so often when Paul was thinking of his past life, I'm sure there were some real regrets in his past life. I'm sure today there's people in this room as well as myself thinking about the regrets and the wasting of time and the wasting of energy and the sad things and the bad things and the issues that we dealt with as we grew up. But we know the scriptures there in Acts chapter 9, where the apostle Paul, on the road to Damascus, he met the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's that case where Christ intervenes in his life, and that miraculous intervention is no different than the miraculous intervention in your life and mine. Because you see, it takes the same salvation experience for the Apostle Paul as it does for you and me. It's the same Lord, it's the same message, it's the same word, it's the same Holy Spirit of God drawing, it's the same today. Oh, we may not have a Damascus Road experience in the miraculous intervention of God, but it's just as big a miracle for your salvation and mine as it was for the Apostle Paul. Just as big and just overwhelming. And you know, I believe today we ought to be overwhelmed with thanksgiving for where we really are in our lives. We ought to be overwhelmed with thanksgiving before our lives are transformed from where we used to be. How many of you would agree with me? I'm sure glad I'm not where I used to be. I'm sure glad I'm not where I used to be. You see, something's wrong when a person doesn't come to the realization and thankfulness of God about their salvation experience. Something is wrong when we don't acknowledge and we don't continue to celebrate the intervention in our lives about the love of God and the experience of being redeemed by the blood of the very Son of God. There's something wrong when that doesn't hit home to our lives. That should, I believe, at least to me, ought to be an overwhelming thankfulness. How many of you thank God this morning for your salvation? I hope you did. We certainly should. But Paul gives us five reasons why he's so thankful in this little portion of Scripture. Five reasons. Number one, and I'll go through these rather rapidly, but I think each and every one of us might understand, first off, what these really mean. Number one, God saved me although I was vile and a wretched sinner. We could say that, couldn't we? We're born in sin. But Paul says, and look at verse number 13, who was before a blasphemer. Any of you blasphemed God? Any of you used God's name in vain? Any of you ever used God as a cuss word? Or, you know, we hear it all the time, don't we? We do. And a persecutor? I suppose, no, none of us in this room have persecuted Christians, but in your life before, did you ever make fun of a Christian? Before you became one? Did you ever make fun of a student or a teacher or an individual and you say, well, I never want to be like them. Never want to be like them. But Paul says three terms. He said, he calls himself a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. A blasphemer, before Paul's conversion, it's what he required the people that he arrested, who were Christians, to blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. One who deals and ridicules God or Jesus Christ's name is a blasphemer. Ridicule or making fun of. I don't know whether you realize that if you've watched the news lately for any period of time, you find out that Christianity is made fun of all the time. Hollywood has made fun of Christians for years. And Christians are that, who wants to be one of those type of individuals? But Paul would make fun of the name of Jesus, and he would make fun of Christians and those that believed on him. But it's interesting what Paul thought of himself. here in this portion of scripture, before his conversion, he had a religious pedigree. I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to turn back to the left just a few pages to the book of Philippians, chapter number 3. In my Bible, it's about 5 pages to the left in Philippians, chapter number 3. And I want you to look at verse number 4. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 4. Now, this is what Paul, in his previous pre-Christian experience, really revealed about himself. Okay, verse number 4. It says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in flesh, I more. In other words, he said, I trusted in the flesh more than anybody else. He said, I was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel. You see, that was the pedigree that Jews had. And he said, even in my upbringing, when I was 8 days old, I was circumcised. And not only that, my parents followed that law. And I started out as a religious individual, even at the 8 days old. An Hebrew of the tribe of Benjamin. As touching the law, he said, I was a Pharisee. I was the top heap of religiosity. I was the top. This high esteem of self, it really came through. But now he sees all that he was, and what does he say down here? He says in verse number 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained for me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but refuge or dung that I might win Christ. Paul's thankful that he's no longer a blasphemer. I think today we would say the same thing. We're thankful today that we're not what we used to be. And we find in the book of Acts chapter 22, and you don't have to go there, but you find there, and in Galatians 1:13, we find there what Paul says. He said, I rounded up Christians. I arrested Christians. I had the authority of the high priest, and I was on my way to Damascus, and I was going to arrest anyone who called themselves a Christian. And I was going to put them in chains, and I was going to throw them in jail. I hunted them like rabbits, and I bound them, and I arrested them, and I caused them and made them blaspheme the holy name of Jesus. But Paul's thankful he's no longer a persecutor. But he used another little word there. He says, I was injurious. I was injurious. And that term means I was a ringleader. I was zealous. I wanted to be in charge. I wanted to be the best. And he says, I even promoted myself far above my equals because I was the one who wanted to be the top. I wanted to be the top persecutor of Christ. And he wanted to know that what he did was maybe to stamp out Christianity. Can you imagine? Here's a man that God has changed, and he's written 14 books of the New Testament. And yet God intervened in his life for the good that we now read. So if you take your Bible and you go back there to 1 Timothy chapter 1 again, as we go through here, his desire was to be the chief enemy of Christ. And he says there in verse number 15 of 1 Timothy 1, he says, and this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. I'm chief. I'm the chief of sinners. You know, Paul looks at his life and he said, I was the chief of sinners, but you know what? I'm not any longer. Number two, Paul was thankful because he obtained mercy. This made Paul different when we attained mercy. You know, we know this morning that each and every one of us in this room has attained mercy. Obtained. We obtained it from God Himself. It comes from Him. To attain something means that you have been in effect and you receive it. You attain a diploma or something like that. No, it's obtained means that something has been favorable to you and given to you. You obtained it. I heard this morning that Adderley won the prize of the big television at the... You didn't do anything to... Where's Adderley? She's downstairs? Okay, she didn't do anything to deserve it, I'll tell you that. Okay. But she obtained it because they drew her name. But Paul says, I obtained mercy. Aren't you glad today for the mercy you received? Boy, I am. I'm glad God's merciful. You know, as I think about our lives and I look back on my life, you know what I'm so thankful for? I grew up in a little town of Jessup, Indiana. And when I was 3 years old, my mom and dad, who were farmers, and I mean, any of you know where Jessup is? Jessup? Have any of you heard of Jessup? Okay, a few of you lived around here for a while, you know. And I was 3 years old, and our house, there's a couple of grain bins there now, just on the north edge there of Jessup. And we lived in a house right there on the north edge of Jessup where those grain bins were. And I was 3 years old, and I remember one time that, at that time, I believe it was the Penn Central Railroad was coming down through there from Rockville, and I was 3 years old, and I was out there playing on the railroad tracks. And you think, okay. Remember that story I told you about Ooey Gooey was a worm? Remember that story? How many, raise your hand if you remember the story of Ooey Gooey was a worm. All right. I'm going to tell you one more time. You'll never forget it. Ooey Gooey was a worm. A mighty worm was he. He climbed upon the railroad track, a train he did not see. Ooey Gooey. That's the way I was at 3 years old. I was out there playing on the railroad tracks, and here was coming the train, and my sister, I believe Cindy was about, I don't know, how many more years older than me, grabs me before the train runs over me. But here's what I'm thankful for. I'm 3 years old, my mom and dad moved from farming down there in that area, and they moved up to the New Discovery area to farm the Overpeck farm. Bigger farm, big farm. And we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ because at the New Discovery Baptist Church, which is no longer there, we went to there, my mom and dad. And we were led to the Lord by two ladies there who had graduated from Cedarville University. At that time, it was Cedarville College. And they came and opened up that little church at New Discovery. They had, the weeds had grown up around it, and they came and they looked at that little church, and they cut down the weeds around the church and everything, and they cleaned it up on the inside, and we lived just south of that little church, and my mom and dad went there, and we came to faith in Christ, and my dad became a pastor because of the mercy of God. Paul says, I obtain mercy and grace. We know what Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, is it? It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. None of us are saved today because of something we do. We are saved today because of what Christ has done, totally, completely, and fulfilled every requirement for you and I that we might be saved. And Paul says, I'm thankful because I obtained mercy. And I'm thankful today because God was merciful. He could have left us sit down in Jessup. could have left us there, but he didn't. And Paul's thankful because he was a great sinner and obtained mercy. But number three, Paul's thankful that the gospel was committed to his trust. Look at verse number 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. God has given you and I the trust of commitment of his word. We're not just saved and then just go on through life. We're saved so that we might take this book, so that we might learn it, so that we might memorize it, so that we might be able to use the very word of God so that someone else might come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the reason you and I got saved. So that we might share the gospel ministry with others. It not only saved Paul, but also made him a servant. We're studying the book of Romans. And Paul starts out the book of Romans. He says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And that little term servant means slave. Have you ever considered yourself a slave of Jesus Christ? We are. You know why we're a slave? Because we have been bought, purchased, bought by the very power of Almighty God through the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood was shed and bought our salvation. We're bought. And Paul says, I'm thankful because God committed to me the trust of the gospel. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 4. It says, but God allowed me to be put in trust with the gospel, even so I speak, not as pleasing men, but God who trieth our hearts. How many of you think this book of the Bible is the most precious item on the top side of this earth? It is. It is the very God-breathed word that gives life. Not a single one of us in this room ever got saved apart from the word of God. Someone shared it to us. And Paul's thankful that God has committed to him the trust of his word. But that's not all. God's thankful that God enabled him in verse number 12, equipped him. That's what it really means. He equipped him to be able to be used. You know, if you're a Christian here this morning, God has equipped you with everything necessary for the job that he expects you and I to do. He's equipped us with it. He's given us the opportunity. He's given us the ability. He's given us the wherewithal, the knowledge. But what do we do with it? I'm going to give you some examples of Old Testament saints who didn't think that they were good enough. Moses in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter number 3, God says, Moses, I want you to go down into Egypt and I want you to bring out the children of Israel. And Moses says, oh, not me, God. Not me. I can't talk. I'm a man of a slow tongue. I can't use words properly. Moses says, not me. Please, not me. God gets kind of fed up with his excuses, and he said, okay, I'll send Aaron, your brother, with you, and he'll be the spokesperson, but you're going to be in charge, Moses. Moses said, well, how am I going to know? He said, take your rod, just throw it down on the ground. He threw it down on the ground, and it turned into a serpent. You remember the scripture? It turns into a serpent, and Moses runs away from it, And God says, okay, now Moses, grab it by the tail. I don't know how you could tell which is tail and which is the top. And it became a rod again. And God says, if they don't believe that, they'll believe this one. Stick your hand into your bosom and pull it out. And he pulled it out and it was a leprosy. He said, if they don't believe the first one, they'll believe the second one. He said, okay, stick it back in again. And he did, and it was came whole as it was before. Joshua, the individual who followed Moses, man, what a job. Moses leads 2 million people out of Egypt, and then he turns it over to Joshua. Joshua, you take them into the promised land. God says to Joshua, be strong and of good courage. 5 times there in the book of Joshua, early in that chapter, he says, be strong and of good courage. He knew Joshua. He knew Joshua was a lot like you and me. We shake in our boots in front of people. Gideon, you remember Gideon? God says, Gideon, you can beat the Midianites. But only take 300 men with you. And you can defeat thousands. All of these situations are God did it. God did it. One of my favorites is the book of Esther. Esther becomes queen. Think about this in your life. Esther becomes queen. But she didn't want to go before the king and tell him who her nationality really was, because she was a Jew. And Mordecai, her so-called uncle at that time, he says, Esther, if you don't do it, the Jews are going to be wiped out. But he says, this thing is true. God will send deliverance from another place if you don't do it. But who knows but what thou art called to the kingdom for such a time as this. I've mentioned this in my life and in my heart and in my mind many, many times. There's nothing. You and I are living in this day and age because God has brought us into the world at this time, at this specific time. And I believe, I'm looking at people in here, young people in here that I believe are the terminal generation. I believe that with all my heart. We are so close to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we need to realize and understand this morning, that you and I are called to the kingdom for such a time as this. This is a very specific time. There's never been a time like this in this world. There's no quitting with God. All of us are equipped to give, and the task before us is given, and we are equipped to be able to fulfill that task. Number 5, the last one. Paul's thankful that his life is a pattern for those that believe. Verse number 16 says this. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. You ever thought your life would be a pattern? Moms and dads, your life might be a pattern for Jesus Christ to your children that come along. I had a great pattern in my life. My parents were a great pattern and role models for me as I grew up. I remember, and Deb will agree with this, so many times I'd get up on Sunday morning or sometime in the middle of the night and I'd get a call from my mother. And my dad had heart trouble, and he had heart surgery, but later on in his life, my mom would call me early in the morning, and Deb can verify this. She said, Bud, Dad's just not able to go and preach today. Would you mind filling in for him today? You know, you don't turn down. You don't turn down your mother. You know, when you know that your dad's hurting and not able to do it. My dad was so weak that he couldn't even get back up the stairs once he went downstairs. And I have to tell you, he's a great pattern in my life, in living and growing up. And he taught me one lesson years ago, and I'll remember it as long as I live. He said, you live by the very principles that God has placed before you, not by the principles of others. You live by those principles. And you stay true to those principles. Paul's conversion is a pattern for you and I today. We're all saved by mercy, saved by grace, and we're all saved in Christ alone, through faith alone. And we're saved. But Paul says, my doxology, and if I've written this autobiography, he says there in verse number 17, now unto the King eternal. Immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, that was Paul's life, and that was his prayer. Unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to the only wise God. Let's stand this morning. You know, I ask you this morning, and maybe someone will do it. Maybe someone will say, you know what? I ought to do that. I ought to start my autobiography. You know what happens? Those who follow along in your footsteps, or maybe not even in your footsteps, but you may be able to touch the life of someone else. Because they might see the path that you've gone down and the requirements that God changed in your life to bring us to the knowledge of the truth. All of us in this room have the same beginning. We start out as sinners. And one day, sooner or later, someone shared Jesus Christ with us and we believed it. And that will take us all the way to eternity and beyond because of Jesus Christ and his love. Would you say that amen today? I'm glad and I'm thankful for the salvation of my soul in Christ Jesus. Can you say that?
Yes.
Boy, I hope so, because that is the realization of knowing Christ. Let's pray. Father, what a day. What a beautiful day to acknowledge and to give you thanks for who you are, first of all. For who you are. You're the Creator God. You're the lover of our souls. You're the giver of life in Christ Jesus, your Son. You have blessed us. We have taken so much for granted. We have been unfaithful and we have been unthankful. And yet you still love us in spite of us. Father, you are worthy of our praise and all our glory. Dismiss us, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just shake hands, please, before you leave.